Hello, and welcome back to Graphic Novel Life, the podcast passionate about graphic novels and getting you reading them. I'm your host, Jamie. It's good to be back. I've been off for a while with extended illness at the beginning of the year, which has been followed by summer in Scotland with five children, and you take your time where you can get. There's a joke in Scotland that we have some beautiful summer days in Scotland. This year it was on a Wednesday, and it kind of explains that when the sun's out, we just go out and have fun and make the most of it, and when it's in, you're trying to keep five children happy for far too long. But thank you to everyone who has kept listening. I've had people coming up in the pub, at the swimming pool, and just say, "Oh, I've picked up Owen Pomeroy's books. They're brilliant. I love them." Or say the daughter's reading graphic novels. Do I have any more? Do I have any recommendations? And it's great to hear that girls are reading graphic novels. That women in general are reading graphic novels more. That there's more to choose from out there. But also, it's especially great when said children are dyslexic and they're just reading, which is a great relief to the parents. I think we need to do something about how we view them in the school system, that they're not added onto readers to count for words and things like that. But one battle at a time. And that's what Graphic Novel Life is all about. It's about getting people reading, and graphic novels in particular. It's for newbies and old hands, for adults and children. And we're just on a quest to broaden horizons and to get you liking this form of literature. To say this is a genuine form of literature that is worth reading. So please hit the like button and share with friends, or you don't have to like it to hit the like button. You can unlike it later, but just share it with friends. Just get it out there. Today's show, it's for all my buddies in the pub who have these discussions with me over a few pints about Star Wars and how Star Wars has forgotten its roots and they're not watching the films anymore, and it's forgotten about the fans, man. It's not for the fans anymore. And like I do to them, I know that there's people out there that feel the same way, and I'm just saying, don't throw it out just yet. Let me convince you that there are still some cracking stories left in the series. And we're going to look at some recommendations, just some recommendations today, just to try and convince you to do that. So, as my friend says down at his CrossFit gym, let's get it done. It's kind of general knowledge that people can find change difficult, that the human race as a whole can find change difficult, and as you get older, it gets more difficult, and people get attached to things, and they don't like to admit that some of the new stuff is good. They like to kind of just what expression we have here is poo-poo it. It's like, oh no, man, that's not as good as it was back in the day. And Star Wars fans are like that. I've got a few of them. You just say that they won't watch the new ones. They won't watch anything past the original three. New Hope, Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And they just say they've forgotten about the original fans. It's like, it's not. They've gotten away from what they knew and what the fans wanted. And I understand that. I feel a bit like that about DC films. I feel like it's like moved away from, I feel the DC films have moved towards just what the hardcore fans want and not remembered that, you know, there's a whole lot of new fans that you can be engaging. And certainly I feel that way about Indiana Jones. I mean, I love the first films, and then Crystal Skull came out, and I have to say, I watched the ending and went like, ah, this is what Star Wars fans feel like. This is what they feel like. So I do, I get it, I sympathize. It's about, you know, I think it's about innocence lost, about growing up. Something that you grew up with has evolved, and, you know, and Star Wars at its heart, it was about the kids, it was about the fans. And I think it still is, which is why it keeps adapting things. And sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. And I think opinion's out. But I do think that there's also this ranking of cool that comes with Star Wars. It's like, oh, I only like the original three, and I don't even like the ones that were digitally enhanced. I like the pure originals. You know, and each to their own. Each to their own, that's absolutely fine. I disagree. I think that it's become about cool. It's a bit like these music fans who are like, oh, I don't, Michael's not the king of pop, it's some obscure band from the back end of Outer Mongolia. They're the kings of pop. And he's like, who? You know, so it's all about opinion. The thing is, in my opinion, I don't think LucasArts or Disney have forgotten the old fans. I just think it's simply moved into a new era. And Marvel, when Disney re acquired them and acquired LucasArts, they returned to writing Star Wars stories, which they did in the 70s and 80s when Star Wars first came out. And they're retelling the Star Wars stories, and a lot of the art writers and artists they've recruited to do that grew up with Star Wars and are still fans, and they've grabbed the opportunity to work with characters that they know and love. And what I want to do today is just introduce you to some of those, you know, and there are some cracking ones, and you know. Don't throw it out. I've said this, but I'm saying it again. Don't throw it out. Just hear me out. Hear me out and read it and make up your own mind. No, so as we said, it's part of the franchise regenesis when Disney acquired Star Wars from George Lucas. Marvel started putting out comics that were considered canon. And what happened is that it is actually a smartly handled imagining that focused primarily on the characters sort of in between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. And they did the regular Star Wars series. I've read bits of it, not all of it, and you know, and I was impressed with that. But one that I was tasked to review. It was Darth Vader. And, you know, but that was like, how they're going to do this? You know, it'd be interesting to see in that period between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. And I must say, in the films, there was always this kind of jump in back and forward. You weren't quite sure. Then they brought in the prequels with Phantom Menace to build that up. And, you know, and there's mixed feelings about that. But two of the writer that they brought on to do Darth Vader is Kieran Gillen and an artist called Salvador LaRocca, and they did the Darth Vader series, and their run is actually it is very good, and it spans four books, five if you count the awesome Star Wars crossover event Vader Down between the main series and Darth Vader. And those four books in the Vader series were Vader, Shadows and Secrets, The Shu Turan War, and End of Games. And Now, Vader starts with the political and propaganda fallout caused by the destruction of the Death Star in A New Hope, of which Darth Vader is the sole survivor. Now, Emperor Palpatine is absolutely furious, and he demands that Vader cleans up the mess and repairs the damage the Rebel Alliance's victory has caused to the Empire's reputation. But Vader, being a true Sith, he has his own agenda, and that's finding the Force-sensitive pilots who brought down the Death Star and discovering who the Emperor's mysterious new agent is. It's a rival. Enter Dr. Aphra, a cheeky rogue archaeologist who loves fun and specializes in droids, and has developed her own psychotic droids called 000 and BT-1, simply known as BT. So think of her as a kind of Indiana Jones' Belloc, but a whole lot prettier. You know, in it for the money. She's in it for the money. Although, you know, Indiana Jones was a little bit like that as well. Shadows and Secrets was the follow-up to that. And that finds Vader on Luke's trail and discovering about the truth about the connection to each other. So this is all the things that have happened in between. Now, Vader's new adjutant, Thenoth, is keeping a close eye on him for the Emperor while they take down the crime lords operating on the Outer Rim who have been posing a threat to the Empire. And meanwhile, Dr. Aphra, her droids, and the bounty hunters hired by her for Vader work behind the scenes to keep Vader's past buried. Except that the Emperor's agent, who's now been revealed to be the geneticist Silo 5, and his creations are keen to replace Vader as the Emperor's right hand by any means necessary. You know, and in this game of wits, power, subterfuge, and betrayal, can Vader stay ahead long enough to emerge the victor? Now, the third book is The Short Turan War. It actually follows on from the crossover Vader Down, and we'll come to that. And it finds Darth Vader on the mineral-rich planet of Shutoran, which is run like a feudal system. The wealthy and conniving ore barons are governed by the Shutoran royal family, and Vader has been sent there to be the Emperor's hammer, and he falls on the barons and the royals alike. And so what happens is the young and inexperienced Princess Trios, who was previously third in line, finds herself crowned queen by Vader's hand. And to survive, she has to broker a deal with Vader and bring the greedy barons to heel. But there's treachery all around, and Vader's rivals will gladly manipulate the barons in order to kill him. The series ended with the appropriately titled End of Games, which deals with the aftermath of revelations and actions on Shutoran. Now, Vader is again in the Emperor's favor, but he still has enemies. And he's charged with hunting down the traitors to the Empire. Now, he's happy to comply, but his prey is cunning, and one false step will undo all his plans and machinations. To ensure that doesn't happen, his secrets must remain buried. If he has to put former allies, the rogue scientist Dr. Aphra, and the wily inspector Thanoth next to them, then so be it. He's a Sith. He'll do what he has to do. Except Thanoth and Aphra are his wiliest challengers, and his own demons lurk in the shadows. Brutal and unforgiving, these are more deadly than any foe he faces. Now, Star Wars fans, you can rest easy, because these are not just very good additions to the franchise canon, but they are bloody good. And Gillen, who is a massive Star Wars fan, is having an absolute blast writing. You can just see that touch of fanboy enthusiasm throughout, which just ensures that he does this justice. I mean, he has been tasked with handling one of the favorites, fan favorites, Darth Vader, his backstory, and he just does so well. And the series starts well, and it just ramps up as it progresses, and it's just good from start to finish. both Gillen and artist LaRocca's work consistently improving. Now, the familiar characters are all well rendered, and while Afra, Triple Zero, and BT are actually they're excellent additions to the franchise, Afra would go on to get her own spin-off series. But the pace is blistering because it follows that blockbuster tradition. So it's not gonna might not be to everyone's tastes if you like your slow burner, but then you probably wouldn't watch Star Wars anyway. But it works well, yeah. You know, because Gillen is reverentially filling in the blanks between films. He realizes that this is a big deal, and he just takes so much care in it, and he's plots add layer on complex layer to Vader, probably better than the three films, the prequels did. Just capturing that tortured, tormented soul. And the narrative's it's largely serious, but I mean there's also comedy, usually provided by the very funny homicidal droids, Triple Zero and BT. I mean it they're 3PO and R2-D2 inverted, but it's just handled so well. And LaRocca, he's got a European style, so it's a bit more about telling the stories, and it fits this surprisingly well. The subtly displayed sound effects just making the points without dominating the frames. You know, and Vader relives these painful memories as his pursuit of Luke takes him back to the planets and places he visited as a youth. And his response to these, quite cleverly captured by LaRocca through the use of detailed surroundings and a superb contrast of colors. Now, while the characters are all artistically beautiful, not all of them can convey emotions well. Afra is one example. But as you move into the Afra series, you see why. She's not really very strong on emotions. And so, you know, but the upshot is that you know what the mood is. The colors are brilliant. And when it comes to Vader, you can feel his emotion coming off the page. And you know, considering that he's constantly wearing a mask, this is a spectacular feat. There's top-notch content throughout. Some of the guest artists that come in do well too. You know, LaRocca's semi-realistic style matches well with Lionel Yu's gritty stylizing on Chotur and War, which makes it a visual treat. Max Fiumara's dystopian style and Mike Norton's cinematic aspirations, they help fill out End of Games. There is just high quality throughout. And you know, when Gillen and LaRocca started, they faced a daunting challenge with Darth Vader. Not only did they have to create a passable story for Vader, as we said, a massive fan favorite, they also had to respect the Star Wars canon and the fans. You know, and that's tricky at the best of times. You don't always get that right. And more so with a well-loved franchise. But, you know, their Vader isn't passable. It's more than that. It's pretty damn good. And it's entertaining from start to finish. It is one of the best reads I've had. And it's an excellent addition to the Star Wars legacy. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Vader Down, which is an absolutely brilliant book. And we'll do that just after the break. Welcome back to the graphic novel life. Thank you for coming back after the break. Now we're continuing our review of graphic novels in the Star Wars franchise, and we've just covered the very good Darth Vader by Kieran Gillen in that series, which ties in between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. The main series was written by Jason Aaron, and while Kieran Gillen was doing this, and they did this crossover. So the main series covered Luke and Leia and Solo and Chewbacca and all the main crew. And so this could, you know, with Vader, it could introduce new characters. And then they went and had a crossover called Vader Down, which is widely regarded, and in my opinion, it is the best Star Wars film you will never see. It is absolutely fantastic. It is proper blockbuster. It is the Star Wars film fans have been clamoring for years. You know, show us what Vader's really capable of. Well, boys and girls, in this, it is totally amazing. You know, and in the main series, it's his presence has been restricted on the basis that he's also carrying his own title, and you know, but now he comes into to Vader Down and he just gets let loose. And so, you know, Luke had in the main series was coming attempting to come to terms with his Jedi heritage and you know, finding out about his dad and all that, and then in Shadows and Secrets, Vader found out who Luke is, and now he's engaged the services of Dr. Aphra to track him down, so that he can, get Luke to join him in the dark side and all that. You know the story if you've watched the films. And we just open on this amazing space battle in which a single fighter sees off an entire squadron until he's just overwhelmed. And, you know, but that's not the end. He lands on a rebel-occupied planet. But the pilot is Darth Vader. And he's looking for Luke. And he is not going to let anybody stop him. And of course, when they find out that it's Darth Vader, the rebels just all go nuts. And they just want to take him out because then you've taken out the Emperor's hammer, and it would be a major coup for the Rebel Alliance. But he may be on the ground, but he's definitely not out, and it is a free-for-all as all the rebels try to corner him, and then Vader just thumps the living daylights out of them. And you know, Mike Deodato, who did the main Star Wars, he and Salvador La Roca, they swapped obviously with Jason Aaron and Kieran Gillen, and it just looks spectacular. And all the players from the regular Star Wars series are involved, including Dr. Aphra, and it is funny and it is fantastic. And it's just you know, serious, and there's tension, but it is fun, and that's what Star Wars films should be like. You know, they should be fun, and it proves why Vader is the Lord of the Sith. You know, when you look at, you know, Vader often gets ranked in the movie polls and that as the most underutilized and overpowered villain. I mean, but actually, in this, you see, this guy he's amazing. I mean, they've done that in some of the Star Wars games, but you know, here it's just like, whoa, go Vader. And yeah, as you said, absolutely brilliant fun, and it is absolutely worth the read. Now, you do have to read a bit of the Star Wars books to kind of get a gist of it, but you know, I think if you knew the basis of the films, and you knew that there was ostensibly a middle in between that you had not seen, you'd probably be able to do it. I don't know, maybe you would enjoy it. But I think if they ever decide to make a film about Darth Vader on his own, that needs to be the one. I mean, that's it. And just throw in all the visual effects. And I mean, I don't know how they're going to bring everybody back, but I mean, they could just do that. It is brilliant. And so that brings us to the end of today's show. I hope that I've been able to convince you. I know I'm not at my total game today. I should be in a pub having a discussion with you about this in one of those classic pub discussions about random things, with a pint in our hands, or a glass of wine, and we're just discussing this, and I'm trying to convince you, and you leave slightly tipsy, deciding you're going to give it a try anyway. You know, these are great stories, and they're worth having a go, if just to renew your faith in Star Wars again. And so, a big, big thank you for listening. Please don't forget to click the subscribe button, recommend to your friends. The Graphic Novel Life is available across a number of platforms, including Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and Google. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm just getting back into that as well. You can also head over to my good friends at the Slings and Arrows Graphic Novel Review Guide. My friend Frank Plowright, who is the editor there, he reviewed Vader Down for that site. I had read it already as part of reviewing Darth Vader. I had to read it in, to connect the dots. Rates it highly as well, and he is very hard to impress. But the Slings and Arrows is also one of the most comprehensive guides to graphic novels, old and new, on the web. Frankly, probably is. They've got over 7,000 reviews now. So you can follow them on Twitter or Facebook for daily reviews. Now, next week, who knows? Who knows what it'll bring? Maybe it'll bring more Star Wars. Maybe it'll be something a little bit different. We don't know. We don't know. You know, keep it interesting. Try something different. Have a great week. Remember, try new things. Do stretch your horizons. You know, keep yourself young by looking at things a little bit differently. And keep well. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.